October 19th at 9 o'clock in the morning. A very fun fact that we've been talking about all morning is the time. So good morning and welcome to Goddess Talk. This is Christy Bach along with Raven Starr. Say good morning, Raven.
Good morning, Raven.
Raven is
so we are right. We are two undercaffeinated writers who have decided to talk about writing again. It is our favorite topic. So every author finds themselves.
Halloween.
Say that again.
I said we should do something scary for Halloween for the show.
Oh, I'm a big baby, so it can't be too scary.
No way. I watched Beth.
You have no idea. You did what?
Watch Basket Case?
Basket Case?
Oh, you don't even know that movie. Yeah.
No.
It's a very, very, well, I can't say very. It's like 82, but I saw it the other day, and I was like, oh, my God. I remember this when I was like 12. We should like have like a nice kind of like a Halloween show, not like scary, but maybe if we can get some I don't know, some kind of authors to come on for Halloween, maybe.
That would be fun. I like that.
Yeah. We should do that.
So while we're on the Halloween thing, I'm gonna share a funny with you. I tried to watch a scary movie with my daughter. The last time I watched a scary movie was probably 8 years ago. So this story's 8 years
no
old.
No way.
Oh, yeah. So.
Oh, we're tying you down, and you're going to watch every horror movie I can find.
Oh, I promise you I will not. So the movie was called House of Wax, and I don't remember anything about it except I was standing behind the couch and trying to, like, she asked me to watch it, so I was trying really, really hard to watch the television. But then this guy came and, like, cut the Achilles tendon of a girl, and I ran.
Oh, my goodness. See, that's the thing. Like, I remember that in the original Pet Sematary by Stephen King.
Uh-huh.
When the old guy was going upstairs and Gage cut his Achilles tendon with a scalpel. Girl, that was...
Oh.
That hurts me. When I see that in movies, that hurts me so much.
I can't watch that movie as an adult. I did watch it as a child, and I read the book like 8 times. But I can't watch it as an adult. I can't watch most Stephen King movies. I can't watch The Shining. I can watch The Shining. No, I cannot watch The Shining. I can watch The Stand.
Yeah,
can't watch Pet Sematary.
Well, absolutely.
That part
wait,
where that
wait,
woman's
wait,
like emaciated.
Wait.
Go ahead.
You have not watched Pet Sematary? Did you?
I have not watched what?
Okay, so you didn't even watch the remake of Pet Sematary.
Oh, no. Not at all.
Oh, that was awesome. It was really good. Like, not gory, because it wasn't, but it was, the story was really good. And Stephen King has even been quoted saying that it's scarier than what he did. And for Stephen King to come out and say, hey, I've seen this is scarier than what I did in the beginning, it's amazing.
See, that's totally a sign that I should not watch it. I know what my limitations are as a human.
Nope.
Yeah, there's just so many things. I have this whole list of things I don't watch. If you knew how little television I watched, you'd laugh. I don't watch anything scary.
You don't, you don't really watch TV at all.
Mm-mm. Nope, I don't watch anything scary. I don't watch anything overly violent. I don't watch anything with gratuitous anything. If there's gratuitous boobs, I won't watch it. If there's gratuitous violence, I won't watch it. If there's gratuitous swearing, I won't watch it. If there's gratuitous sex, I won't watch it. So, like, it has to serve a point.
Oh,
all of those things can Oh, but I am stuck on a television show right now. I just discovered it. So there's this show. If you ever want to know what I'm like in person, watch the show American Housewife. This show,
okay.
It is a comedy show about a housewife married to a professor who happens to live in one of the most affluent cities in America. So you have all of these rich, super, super, super wealthy housewives, and then the wife of a teacher. And so she's trying to, like, survive in this affluent world with her three children. One of them has, I believe, autism, and the other one's just a capitalist nightmare, and the other one's kind of dumb. So it is fantastic. It makes me laugh.
Where is it? On Netflix?
It is on Hulu.
Oh, okay.
But I think you can find it anywhere. It's just, it's one of those.
I'm going to try.
I don't know.
You wait. Wait till my eyeballs open, girl. Just wait.
So I've spent a lot of this week revisiting my writing past. So I don't know how many authors out there have a started folder. Ideas that you started writing, chapter ones, just a bunch of random crap that will probably never see the light of day. So I went through my computer, my laptop, my tablet, and my phone, and I found every single thing that I have written in the last, we'll say, 12 years. It turned out to be 21 stories. So
wow.
I decided, right? And like, a lot of them aren't that bad. I just got bored. So I have four contemporary romances. Now, what's comical to me about that is, one, I don't write romance. I like romance. I read it, but I don't know how to write it. I can't seem to make my characters fall in love. They want to have sex a lot, but they don't fall in love very often.
Oh, yeah.
So,
well, see, sex is great.
That was actually a million years ago. I submitted a book to Wild Rose Press, and the person wrote back, and they were like, "We really like your story, but it's not a love story, so it doesn't fit our publishing company." So, but here's some things you can do to change it. And I remember reading that thinking, why the hell would I change it to fit in your mold? So, I mean, it never got published with them, clearly. but that kind of brings up what I wanted to talk about today, is how do you know when to take that advice and when to say, screw it?
Well, yeah.
So, as I was reading, I read all the time. I probably have about 5 or 6 books randomly started. There is a book, I think it's by Jace Cameron. Let me pull it up, make sure I'm right. Yeah.
Okay, you guys, do you hear her clicking on her, like, computer over there? She's clicking. I can't type that fast even with my eyes open.
I type really fast.
Yeah.
So I'm currently reading this book by Cameron Jace. I've already read it. It was published in 2013. So the book is called Insanity. And it said, after accidentally killing everyone in her class, Alice Wonder is now a patient in the Radcliffe Lunatic Asylum. No one doubts her insanity. Only a hookah-smoking professor believes otherwise, that he can prove
her
sanity.
I love it. Hookah-smoking.
Yes. That he can prove her sanity by decoding Lewis Carroll's paintings, photographs, and find Wonderland's real whereabouts. So it's a spin on Alice in Wonderland. Now there's 8 books in this series, and if you haven't read it, I just highly recommend it. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because this person, Cameron Jace, took an idea, Alice in Wonderland. Most people have read the book. It's one of the second highest selling book other than the Bible. So most people have read Alice in Wonderland. And so he takes the characters and he gives them this dark and twisted sides of their personality.
It sounds like
the
a
hookah smoking
fairy tale.
It totally is. The hookah smoking professor
Awesome.
is the caterpillar.
That's me.
So, as I was reading this, this is the kind of book I read when I need to just completely get away from what I'm writing, because there's literally nothing in this book I could have ever thought of. I don't have the capabilities of thinking what this author thought. And so it kind of refreshes my brain so that when I can turn around and go back to what I was working on. So, because there's nothing, like, I don't write anything like that. Like, I wouldn't ever call it a lunatic asylum. My social cues would not allow me to. It's one of those things where you have to find your, you know, like if you go to a perfume counter and you smell a lot of perfumes and then you have to sniff the coffee because your nose doesn't work anymore. This is kind of the same thing. I've written so many different things and my head has been in so many different places that I have to read something completely unlike anything I am capable of writing just to get back to where common sense lies.
Yeah, but you gotta give yourself a break, though, because your Ascension book, let's get into it, because that book is amazing. I could never have thought of the things that you thought of in that book.
You know? Well, thank you.
So it's not like you're not capable, because obviously you are, though. You are. I mean, you took Dionysus, you know what I mean, and brought him to life. Who else could think about, let's take a god and bring him into reality and you know, write a story around that. That's amazing. That's like something I never even thought of.
Well, I can't even say that idea was originally supposed to be Dionysus. When I wrote the book, when I started writing the book, the whole book is from the host's point of view. The whole book is Dionysus hosting a reality show in hell. But the whole book was supposed to be about the 10 women who wound up being contestants on the show. I read an article, got pissed off, and thought that, man, religion is so sexist. It's not even funny. It is just so sexist. There's like nothing else I can say. I don't know how man got God so wrong, but it is so sexist. And then I struggle with that because I'm Southern, y'all. So saying that religion is wrong in the South is sacrilegious.
Girl,
like,
you gotta be, because I live in the South, you gotta be careful. But we start
there's a church
about
on every corner.
Like that. Yes.
So as I started this journey, I started researching how the Bible was formed and canonized. And I found out that a group of men sat around a table and decided which books went in the Bible. Now, you can say that the Holy Spirit guided their hand and God made them pick exactly what he wanted them to pick. And I have no way to dispute that. I have no way of saying you're dead wrong. But there are books that weren't included. And I imagine that's where all the females are.
Right, so, exactly.
Because, you know, like, if I know we talked about this before, but my journey to religion is new. I am just now learning about all this. It's because of this book, because I started researching the 10 wicked women of the Bible. And the more I researched, the more pissed off I got. These are just people, y'all. They're people vilified throughout history, but they're just people. You know who I hate? I hate Samson and his parents because I think they suck.
We won't get into what I hate because then it'll be a whole different kind of show.
So you recently had a book released, didn't you? How's it going?
Okay.
That did not sound
honestly
promising.
Not bad. Because when I check, you know, how the book is doing, it is selling. So far, it's got over 50 reads on Kindle.
Nice.
So I'm pretty happy. I'm starting book two on that series. I had a very, very, very good talk with one of my beta readers, and she kind of like pinpointed some things, and I was like, oh shit, well, book is out now. It's not like I can take it back. So, yeah, but my thing is, when I write, I don't want it to seem rushed, but I also get really bored. Like when I get to like 30K, I get bored. And I'm like, okay, well, the end. And I do. I kind of like leave it as a cliffhanger just in case I wanted to come back and revisit that story, I couldn't. But I realize that's not how I'm going to get on the New York bestsellers list or even the USA Today bestsellers list. I got to kind of like finish them off. So when you say that you've got something 60K, 70K, 120K, I'm like, damn, Christy, give me a break.
I struggle with endings. To me, it's all about, I mean, I also get bored right at about the 30K mark. And it's not even that I'm bored. I'm just sick of them. Like, I don't people very well for very long, even in real life. Like, I have three friends. I swim with one 3 times a week. I talk to one on the phone twice a week, and I talk to the other one maybe once a month. That's all my body can handle.
Okay, well, damn, that's not cool, yo. We don't even talk that much.
We talk 30 minutes a day once a week. I talk to you more than I talk to most people.
Yeah, that's true. Me too. If it's not my daughter, then, yeah, I'm probably not talking to anybody.
Well, I mean, okay, my daughters don't count. They are my best of friends, and I talk to them regularly.
Oh,
but
mine too. My daughter is like my best friend. I love her to death. Like, she came home from work. I know this has nothing to do with writing, you guys, but she came home from work yesterday, and my daughter is not a crier, you know? So when she comes in, and she's got tears in her eyes, and her little nose is red, and I'm like, what the hell happened? You know, so she comes home, and she tells me that the people, her bosses at work, are in her face and yelling at her and making her feel like crap. And the first thing I want to do is hop on the bus, go to her job,
go beat some ass,
and punch everybody in the mouth, you know. You know, it's like, don't you send my kid home crying. What's wrong with you? Don't you know who I am? Has nothing to do with my children, but you need to realize that your mother is crazy. I do have a backyard, you know. I don't have a shovel, but
I got a tarp. We'll make it work.
Yes. So, note to self, anybody out there messing with my kids, if you want Raven to be nice to you, be nice to my children.
It's true. Like, your daughters have the ability, and sons too. I have sons too. They have the ability
to
bring out that insane instinct for you to protect, even when they're dead wrong. So my youngest daughter, she is she's about to turn 20. She's a supervisor at her job. She has her own place, and you know, she has the major things under control. And then she'll get I know, I'm so proud of her. And then she'll get tripped up by, like, dumb things. Like, she'll have nothing but ramen noodles in her house and macaroni and cheese. And then
they
mad.
They live,
like,
off that stuff, girl. They love them ramen noodles.
I know.
My daughter makes ramen noodles, girl. The whole house. And she likes them spicy, so she makes up stuff. And she puts in all this other stuff. And I'm like, wow, what is it? She's like, it's ramen. I was like, Jesus. So that's what I do. I just go out and get big boxes of ramen. I know that she'll survive.
That's what I do. I make sure to throw in some vegetables. But, yeah, I do the same thing. So I kind of forget where I was going with this. Oh, she messaged me this morning, like yesterday.
Oh, yeah, she's great. Yeah.
And I was going to share it, but it's not loading on Facebook. But anyway, she was like, this happened, they're all like not huge bad things, but bad enough to really make a crappy day. And so I was trying to formulate a response this morning, because I haven't been the best texter to my daughters these last, I don't know, couple weeks. And so I was going to like write this whole, oh, I love you so much, I'm so proud of you, you're doing amazing. But it was before coffee. So I wrote, damn, that sucks.
She said, damn, that sucks.
This is what happens.
And then you drink your coffee and you go back and you're like, oh, that
I could have handled that better, yeah.
I know, like right before the show, I went inside my daughter's room and she's burrito sky. So she's all cuddled up, she looks like a burrito. And I walk in her room and she doesn't even speak, she just goes, and I'm like, listen, the show is about to start. I gotta wake up. Just shut up for a second. But yeah, daughters are amazing. Not saying that my sons aren't amazing. It's just different. It's just different. You know, like
I think it's easier for me to relate to them, to my daughters, than it is to my sons. I haven't understood a thought process to my sons since they were at least 9 years old. I don't understand what they're thinking, why they're doing what they're doing. I don't understand how they reach from point A to point B to point C in their mental process. And I don't understand why they have absolutely no common sense. None.
It'll get better. It'll get better. Believe me.
Like they're 17 youngest? And 18. When?
Girl, well, let me tell you. It'll get better. Right around this age, hopefully they'll start. Like my son is 20. He just turned 20. And my youngest is 16. Damn, is that you, 16, 17? Shay, hold on. Shay, how old is AJ? Oh, Jordan's 19. Girl, do you hear me talking to my kid? Okay, so Jordan is not 20. He's 19. I was like, that don't sound right. But I can understand them, you know. It's like when I deal with them, it's I can understand them because each one of them have one of my crazy personality traits. You know, my oldest son, he's the lover. You know, he's the romantic. He's the one that everything should be great and peachy and lovely. And that's cool because I feel like that every once in a while. My daughter is like, hey, whatever, don't speak to me. I don't know you. Shut up. My youngest son is me with a penis. I've always told people when I was younger, oh, if I had a penis, oh, I'd do this and this and that and that. Yep, I shouldn't have said that because now I have a little boy who acts just like me but has a penis. But he's like, out of all of them, he's really, you know, oh, I got to get my grades together. This is what I want to do. I want to go to college. And so he's at 16, very young age. He's already trying to plan out his future. You know, not saying that my daughter and my other son aren't trying to plan out their future, but my youngest, he is like this and this and this and this. Straight line, this is what I got to do to survive. So it's that's how I deal with them, you know, because other than that, I don't get it. I just don't, especially with these millennials. I just, I don't get it all the time. And I know
I
that
think
my
millennials
kids
get such a bad rap.
They get such a bad rap, you know, they're like, you know, I was talking to my boyfriend and he was like, oh, these millennials, all they do is want to stay home until they're 28, 30 years old, and they don't want to work. And I was like, that's not true. It's just not. It's just not true. Not all millennials are just like, hey, man, I didn't ask to be born, so I'm not going to do anything, and I'm going to live off you. That's not how my household runs. You know,
I don't know.
My daughter is
one.
Waiting to get her own place, and it'll be awesome after that.
Yeah. I don't know a single millennial who lives the lifestyle of a stereotype. Like, all I know is a bunch of hardworking people with $100,000 in student debt and they can't get a job that makes more than $25,000 a year. And that's a professional job.
Yeah, exactly.
So I feel really bad that they get such a rap.
My daughter came home crying. Yes. So when she came home crying, I was pissed. You know, I was like, well, what the hell?
Right.
You know, it's just horrible the way they're treated. They have such a bad rap.
But you know what? They can all vote now.
Oh, my God. Please, if anybody is listening, let's get 45 out of the office before we're all dead.
I think that if all
watch the Secret Service come knock on my door later on.
That would be hysterical. Not really, but
oh my God.
Funny. So no, I'm serious in that they're all old enough to vote now because they outweigh the baby boomers. So a very wise woman told me not too long ago that in order for this country to change and for progress to happen, the baby boomers must die. Now, that sounds catastrophic when I say it just like that, but that's literally how she said it to me. And she's 69, so she can get away with it. And her words were not incorrect. The world that the baby boomers grew up in is no longer the world we live in. It is time for other people to make decisions. So I'm excited that the millennials can all vote and that they seem to be politically active because change is happening. So I know we only have 3 minutes, and we don't usually talk about politics, but I'm going to. So, you know, you go online and everywhere you go, you have the Republicans versus the Democrats, the conservatives versus the liberals, blah, 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 blah. The reality of it is, to me, it all comes down to two thought processes. Do you think that religion has a place in politics, or do you think that America should be at least governed without forcing religion onto somebody else? To me, that's what breaks up politics is the following of the Bible in a very conservative manner versus following reality and what we actually live in. And I know that's
absolutely
a very simplified way. But I firmly believe that if the millennials gave power or gave voice to the numbers that they have and the power that they have, and they ran for their local offices and they ran for different things in their communities, they don't have to care or worry or think about what the baby boomers have to say, because let's face it, they're not going to be around much longer.
Absolutely.
So it's time for the next generation to pick up the mantle and run with it. So I am excited to see what this election is going to look like. And I am kind of disgusted the way our politics are right now. I am just disgusted by all of them.
Preach on, girl. I think it's scary, to be honest with you.
It is scary. It is scary.
It's really scary life that we're all living right now with our government being in chaos and, you know, I know that we don't talk about religion. I know that we don't talk about politics. I try not to talk about either one of those with anybody because sometimes I get a little angry.
I'm going to interrupt you. I'm going to interrupt you for 1 second. Hang on. I want to say something. That's what's wrong with social media right there. Because we choose not to talk about sex, religion, and politics, because we make that conscious choice, we've forgotten how. We've forgotten how to have a discussion about topics that might be personal to someone else. So I believe we should have. We should talk about them. We should talk about politics. We should talk about religion. Because it's okay to have a different point of view.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I remember I was with an ex-friend of mine. And I was trying to find my feet and staying with her and her mother. And she knew that I am pagan.
And I don't mind church. I will go if I feel the need to go, but do not force me to go.
Right.
And that's kind of what it was. It was like, oh, you need to be forced. You have to go there. And when I went to this church, it wasn't a church. It was like a building with six windows, and it was a cult to me. You know, it was just a cult. And I was like, you're not forcing me to do any of that. I was like, because that's not how I believe in what's above me. So I don't think
I agree with
that
you.
Forcing religion down people's throats is going to make them love what you're talking about. You force something down my throat, and I'm just not liking it. And you better watch out because, you know, when I spit it back at you, it's going to come.
Well, we've been off the air for a couple minutes now.
No, we have not.
Yes, we have.
Damn.
All right.
We did not talk about what we were supposed to be talking about today.
No, we did not. But that's okay because we're going to move it. Like I said, I think I will change everything so that it's Monday starting next week. Obviously not in 2 days, but next week.
I'll start getting some people together, maybe some other authors that we can, like, interview on the show. That way they can bring their audience to our site, and we'll have publicity not just for us, but for whoever we're interviewing at the time.
That sounds good. But all right, I'm going to end this now. I will talk to you online.
Okay, honey.
All right. Bye.